The Bible is full of all different kinds of literature. You have narratives, you have letters, you have collections of sermons that were preached by different people, you have historical accounts of events, you have psalms or songs, you have poems, you have laws which were given as a law code for people to live by in an ancient society, you have proverbs and other wisdom sayings, all kinds of things. And we have to read those different kinds of literature in different ways. Now tonight, we're going to look at some proverbs. If you're interested in turning your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, that's where I'm starting, in Proverbs chapter 18. But if you don't want to turn to them, well, that's okay. I have just chosen 6 proverbs, and I have given this talk the title of 6 Helpful Tips. Because that's what proverbs really are. They are helpful tips about living. Not particularly about God, but about life in general. Some of them are about God, some of them are not. That's why I say we've got to be careful when we read the Bible, we know what we're reading. For example, there will be some cases where you'll read something which is simply a piece of legislation given, let us say, to ancient Israel. If your ox gores another man, or if you have left a well open and somebody falls down it, what do you do? And these are not terribly relevant to us, you might say, but they're there because that was part of a code that God gave to a certain people in a certain part of the world, in a certain country, in a certain era, who had a certain way of life. And so that legislation was followed. But then you get other statements which are statements of doctrinal belief which are fixed. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now that is a statement of doctrinal fact, and that is not going to be adjusted for times or seasons or cultures or anything else. And then you come to Proverbs, and Proverbs are different again. But the book of Proverbs tells us right at the very beginning that they are, in fact, Proverbs. So what is a proverb? Well, a proverb is not a statement of doctrinal fact. A proverb is a pithy saying. It's condensing the observations of some person on life. He has put this into a short, memorable saying. Something that could be easily memorized and carried around with you. It could concern anything at all. But it's in this pithy form, and it's helpful. Sometimes one kind of proverb will be more helpful than another. Now you know, even in English, that some proverbs contradict each other. Well, that's part of the way it is. But these are proverbs, as I say. The book itself says these are proverbs. They're the proverbs of Solomon, or they're the proverbs of somebody else. These are the observations these people have made that they have put into a short saying. Now take in English, for example. We know that in some cases there are so many people hanging around and getting in the way that you might use the proverb, too many cooks spoil the broth. There's too many people poking their fingers in here, too many cooks spoil the broth. But in another set of circumstances, we might say, come on you people, come over here and give us a hand to do this. Many hands make light work. Totally opposite. Because different people need different things said to them. You get in the book of Proverbs, for example, some sayings that are directed towards lazy people, telling these people to get up and do some work. But then other proverbs are directed towards workaholics, and they're told to give it a break, just calm down a bit, the world won't stop if you stop work. We all need different things said to us. There's one particular case in the book where two consecutive proverbs say precisely the opposite to each other. One of them says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, otherwise you might become as silly as he is. And the next one says, answer a fool according to his folly, just in case he thinks he's a world beater. Now that's not quoted verbatim, that's just the general drift of what the man was saying. But you see, one in one set of circumstances, the other in another set of circumstances. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and read the things he said, you'll find that sometimes he answered in one way, and sometimes in a totally different way, and sometimes he didn't answer at all, as it says in the book of Proverbs. Now I've chosen tonight just half a dozen proverbs. They are 6 helpful tips, and I hope they are of some use to us in our day-to-day lives. They're applicable to pretty well everybody, regardless of culture, age, religion, anything else. Now the first one is in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. Whatever Bible you have in front of you may be a little bit different in the wording occasionally, but the general thrust I think you'll find is the same. So here's the first one, Proverbs 18 and 13. If a person gives answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Some people are very quick off the mark. In fact, we're all a bit that way. I mean, how many times have I done it? When I've been in conversation with somebody, he's got halfway through his sentence and then I finished it for him, because I think I know where he's going. People do it to me. Sometimes they do know where I'm going, but I think in the majority of cases they don't. They butt in and finish the sentence. So I say, no, I wasn't going to say that. That's actually going down this other track. The problem is, it shows that we are not listening. We're assuming that because he started the sentence in this way, he's going to talk about X, Y, Z. And we've already made our judgment. We are too quick to make judgments. The proverb says, don't answer before you've heard the full sentence or paragraph or story or whatever it happens to be. If you jump in too quickly, it might turn out to your folly and shame. Most of us have difficulty controlling the way we speak, in the sense that we speak too much or we butt in when we shouldn't. Here's a simple piece of advice. Learn to listen. Don't preempt the other person. Wait and see. Hear them out. And don't make your judgment until you've heard the full story. One of the sobering realities for any person who's a preacher is that every time you preach, there are going to be some people in the audience who misunderstood something that you've said. Sometimes it could be because we've stumbled over our words or haven't expressed ourselves as clearly as we should. Other times it's simply because I've started a sentence in a certain way and that person's mind has gone off on that track, which isn't the track I wanted them to. I was going on this track, and somehow they haven't come back to keep with me, and so they've finished up getting the thing not quite right. Happens all the time. It not only happens to speakers. When speakers are listeners, they do the same thing. So we all have this problem. Learn to be a good listener. That's the first helpful tip. The second one is a couple of verses further down, also chapter 18. This one is verse 17. He who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. This may be in the context of a court of law. Here there are a couple of other proverbs around that area that look as if it might have something to do with litigation. But it's applicable in general circumstances. We do tend to believe the story we heard first. It may not be the right story. And I, for one, am very sceptical about people who sneak up to me. I just want to tell you this. They're getting their story in first because they think that I'm going to hear something from somewhere else that may be to their detriment. I always tend to go very cautiously there and think, is this person doing the right thing in wanting to get his or her story in first? Maybe, maybe not. Listen to both sides of the story. Don't make the judgments too quickly, and be particularly careful of this habit that most human beings have. Most human beings, they will believe the story they heard first. Even if it came from Channel 9, would you believe it? Yeah, they would. They would believe something that they saw on the TV or that they heard from a workmate. Just a piece of hearsay that's going around. Then they come home and they start talking about it. They haven't heard any alternative. Just be very careful about believing things too quickly. And especially when somebody is trying to get their story in first, to pull the rug from under somebody else who might come later. A little bit of suspicion here. So there's the proverb, that's the second one. He who states his case first seems right until the other person comes and examines him. Third one. We go to chapter 19, verse 11. Good sense makes a person slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offence. It's a commendable thing for him to overlook an offence. We are very touchy sometimes when we think somebody's having a shot at us, or they've said something and we get a bit offended. We're too easily offended, most of us. We've got to work very hard at not being easily offended. And don't get the bristles up immediately. Somebody says something and we think it is a slight on us, or a criticism, or something that's unfair. We are very quick to leap to our own defence. That's human nature, but not necessarily the wise thing to do. I was trying to think who it was. Was it St. Augustine, or was it John Calvin? Somebody anyway, wiser than I am, who said, "Lord, deliver me from the lust to defend myself." We are all very much inclined to want to defend ourselves, and rather too quickly sometimes. We have to learn a bit of patience. Okay, let it go. It may have been wrong, it may have been offensive, but leave it go for the time being, and maybe other things will come to light and people will realise the truth. Truth does have a way of coming out in the end. So, be patient. That's what he's saying here. Be slow to anger. I know a lot of us have a bit of trouble when we can see something that's wrong and we want to open our mouth straight away, especially if somebody's saying something about us that we know is not true. Be slow to anger, because when we get angry, we do tend to lose control of ourselves a bit. So just keep it under control and work hard at building up a resistance to taking offence. A lot of people, honestly, they just take offence so easily. Dealing with them or talking with them, like walking on eggshells, they're so touchy. And a lot of people will take offence when no offence was intended. In fact, I'm inclined to think that in the majority of cases where I've been inclined to take offence at something, I've actually had the thing wrong. I've heard something that upset me a little bit, but it wasn't meant, it wasn't intended the way I took it. We do tend to take things wrongly. We're very self-centred, most of us. We want nice things to be said about us. We want people to approve of us, and we want people to agree with us. So when things are said, we can sometimes get offended easily. It ought not to be. I think we have to work very hard. I've certainly tried. I'm not saying that I'm entirely successful. In fact, I'm not saying that I'm the example of any of these things. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But I have been working rather hard through most of my life, trying not to be easily offended. And yet at the same time to be sensitive to people's feelings and what they're saying. But don't get upset because you think you've been slighted or somebody said something that's been offensive to you. We were just talking at lunchtime. This is slightly different, but it's related, I suppose. About the preacher who gets up and he preaches a sermon and it's aimed at only one person. I advise people not to do that, because what normally happens is that everybody else in the building knows that you're having a shot at this guy over here. Except him. He says, "Oh, amen, good stuff, yeah." It just goes right over the top of him. Now, we're a little bit like that in this matter of being offended. Sometimes we're getting offended, but it wasn't intended. Sometimes we have been nasty, and we've tried to say something that's a bit offensive to somebody, and they haven't even seen it. It hasn't hit the soft spot. So we've got to take heed that we don't give the offence, but we also have to take heed that we don't take offence. So there's another thing we've got to work on. If we're going to live together happily, then we've got to learn how to get along with these things. Well, that's the third little helpful tip. Don't be easily offended. The fourth one is in chapter 20, verse 19. "He who goes about gossiping reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who speaks foolishly." I think the King James Version says, "Don't speak with one who's a flatterer." Well, actually, that's going to come up later on. But for the time being, what he's saying is, the person who goes about gossiping, revealing secrets, is not desirable. And so don't associate with a person who speaks foolishly. Now, that's another thing that I've tried to work hard at. Not to listen to gossip, or not to take it seriously, and certainly not to pass it on. Now, there are lots of things I hear, things that you hear. And although my wife is my best friend, and the one I trust most, I'm still not going to tell her some things I know. Not that she's going to go and blabber around the place about them, but anything can come out in an unguarded moment. So it's better just not to tell anybody. If it's a certain piece of juicy gossip, It may be true, it may not be true, but gossip, I think, is one of the most damaging things in most churches, in most communities of human beings. Gossip. Work hard at not practicing it, and work hard also at not taking too much notice of it. Because a lot of it comes simply through foolish talk, through idle talk, which we're all guilty of one time or another. Don't betray confidences. Don't spill these juicy little bits in the ears of other people simply because it sounds a good story. He says those who go about gossiping, revealing secrets, are actually speaking foolishly. So don't do that kind of thing either. There's another little thing to remember about gossip, that if people gossip to you about others, then you can be reasonably sure that they're going to gossip to others about you. That's another good reason to try and clip it before it gets out of hand. So that's the fourth helpful tip concerning gossip. The fifth one is in chapter 25, verse 9. Actually, I go back to verse 8. In the NIV, the last line of verse 7 actually starts verse 8. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbour puts you to shame? Don't judge by what your eyes see, because you see things, but you haven't seen the whole truth. You might say, oh, I saw him. He went into a brothel. I saw him. He's one of the men in our church. He teaches in the youth group, and he went in a brothel. And the next minute, you spread it around. Actually, he was working for the electricity company, and he had to go in there to fix up a problem with their accounts. Don't just judge by what your eyes see. But I saw him. Yes, you did see him, but you didn't know the full story. That's what he's saying here. What your eyes have seen, don't hastily bring to court. Don't take action against it. Because what are you going to do in the end when you're put to shame? Made to look a complete turkey because you haven't had the full story. So, always get the full story before you start to make any judgment. Don't make any hasty accusations, because inquiry may reveal that you don't have all the facts. Play it cool for a while. Actually, the one I was going to look at was verse 9. Argue your case with your neighbour himself and do not disclose another's secret. Don't betray confidences. A lot of harm is done. You know this as well as I do. Somebody will tell you something, but don't tell anybody else. I'm just telling you this in confidence. But somebody had told them in confidence and said, don't tell anybody else. And then they tell somebody else, but don't tell anybody else. Before you know where you are, it's spread 15 times. And everybody is saying, it was told me in confidence, but don't tell anybody else. And that's the way damage is done. You've got to be very careful who you tell some things to. But all of us have to be very careful the way we control our lips. Don't disclose another person's private affairs. Don't disclose another person's confidence that they have put in you. And argue your case with your neighbour and sort it out. You may have worked out by now that there are one or two things here we've already touched on that come up in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus was saturated with the Bible. And the Bible that he had was what we call the Old Testament. And it just sort of came out naturally when he was talking. All these reflections, echoes of the Old Testament, because his mind was saturated with it. Get your mind saturated with the Bible. And even these simple proverbs, they're going to help change us and make us into more the sorts of people we ought to be. So that's my fifth proverb, my fifth helpful tip. Don't betray another person's confidence. And the last one I've got is chapter 28, verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterwards find more favour than he who flatters with his tongue. We don't like being rebuked, but if we're sensible and think about it, we may be thankful when we look back and say, yes, well, that was a helpful thing that person said to me. We need to be rebuked sometimes. That's okay. Better to be rebuked than to be buttered up by somebody who's doing nothing more than flattering you. That's a good thing for us to say complimentary things to people, to say positive things, not to be always negative, not to be always critical. It's nice to be positive, but be very careful of just buttering somebody up. Now, normally, we can work it out. We can work it out whether the person is being sincere in expressing appreciation for something, or is simply coming up with a bit of palaver that they think is going to make you feel good. Never trust a flatterer. It is far better to have a person that might be not exactly your cup of tea, a bit abrasive, a bit straight from the shoulder, bang, there it is, but at least it's honest. And we want some honesty in the way we communicate, not just flattering or giving some soft talk that is designed to get people on side or make them feel good about us because we've said something nice to them. Never trust a flatterer. Well, there we are, 6 helpful tips, all from the Word of God. I hope they're of some use to us. Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Our words not only reveal a lot about us, but there's something of a yardstick by which we're going to be measured, by which we're going to be judged. How often did Jesus say, if you don't measure up yourself to what you've professed to be or to believe, then the greater is your judgment? So we ought to take heed to these things and realise that we are accountable for the things we say. There's a man in the Bible who prayed a prayer something like this: Lord, guard the door of my lips. It's a good prayer for us.